Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We conclude our sermon series, Community, with the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar at St. James, talking about community as friendship. Our readings are taken from Romans 16, verses 1 to 16, and John 15, beginning at verse 13. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Our first reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verses 1 to 16, and it's personal greetings and appreciation of the friends within the community. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Senche. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who is the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus and our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stasius. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the land, in the Lord, and his mother, who have been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 15, and beginning to read at verse 13. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what a master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you. Love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Well done, Felicity. This passage and genealogies in the Old Testament are the worst to read in a church. when it's your time and you see that, you kind of start sweating. So, Felicity, you did an amazing, amazing job. But we don't often hear those readings, and yet they're so important. And I will kind of unpack a little bit, because it's all about Paul recognizing, valuing every individual person in that church in Rome for what they've done, or just for being their presence. Now, I like, and Belgians really like, and the French also like, verse 16 that says, greet one another with a holy kiss. So when I arrived in England, there were no more kisses. There were hugs, but no more kisses. So if you want to become biblical, like the Belgians and the French, maybe you need, you know, to rediscover holy kiss. It's very difficult in Belgium, because if you go to certain parties, you get two kisses. If you go to another party, you get four. So you never know. And so if you are where you only get two, and you're ready for four, you do one, two, and then you get, and then the person kind of, and then you're four, and you only give two, and then the person wants the fourth, the third. And so maybe the hug is easier. Let's pray. Jesus, let us rediscover what it means to be called your friends, and how we can, as a faith community, grow in friendship with one another. And for those whom God or Jesus feels far-fetched, Lord, reveal yourself. In your name we ask. Amen. So for you who haven't been with us, we've looked at community. What does it mean to be a group of people coming together, not just as churchgoers, but how do we grow as a community of faith? And actually, it's the last week, because next week we start Advent, so we're moving on. And we looked at community as a gift, how we are gift to each other and gift to our local community, a place of formation, a place to grow and be transformed. How we can be a witness to others in serving and in loving. How can we be a place that embodies love and forgiveness and safety and unity? How do we reveal God's intentions, God's purposes for his world? But at the heart, we really started the first week, and that's the heart. Jesus was forming a new family, and that's what happened in baptism. We include people who express their faith into God's family. Into Jesus' family. And it's an upside-down family. You might remember a week or two we looked at God places children at the heart of what it means to be a believer. He says no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they become like little children, unless they have this attitude of trust and openness and vulnerability, and they know they need God in their life. So it's an upside-down kind of family where children and grown-ups are welcome, where the confident and the strugglings are welcome, where the dreamers or the disheartened are welcomed, where those with joy or those feeling sorrowful are welcome. It's a place where God's love, God's presence are shared openly. And so if there is something in that talk, you said, hey, this is quite interesting, and you want to know some of the other ones, we have a YouTube channel, and you can go, skip, you know, the introduction, and skip the worship and the praise, and go to the talk, and maybe you'll learn something of God for you too. But we're finishing our series, and we're looking at friendship. Friendship with God, and friendship lived within our faith community. And it starts with this amazing declaration of Jesus to his first disciple and by extension to all his followers, because to be a disciple is to follow Jesus, to be a learner, an apprentice. So he says, you are my friend. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. And in other words, Jesus says, put your life on the line for your friends. Because that's what he did. He put his life on the line for his friends, for his followers, for those he had called and those who were learning from him. He laid down his life And we have various passages in the Bible that speaks that how practically and actually literally Jesus did that. We know that he said, just as the Son of Man, or just as Jesus, didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that was an old prophecy, an old saying that they were waiting, that one day someone will come to take on himself the problems of humanity, the reality, the evils, the harm, what we call transgression, our wrongdoings. And that's what we read a few hundred years ago. He was pierced for our transgressions and wrongdoings. He was crushed for the crimes and evils of human being, which include all of us. The punishment, the just sentence that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, by his death, we are healed. And so Paul, who writes the greetings in this letter a little bit before, says, God demonstrates how much he loves us in this way. While we were still not interested in God, living those self-centered life, harming and hurting others and ourselves, and even his creation, and we see much of that at the moment in our news, how we kind of misuse God's good creation. While we were all doing that, in other words, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I haven't come to be served, but to serve and to lay my life for my friends, said Jesus. This is sacrificial love. And it's not a tragedy that Jesus died on the cross. It was the greatest victory. That's why we do when we baptize, is victory against all the evils and all our wrongdoings. It's God wiping the board clean and saying, I'm not going to hold you account because someone died on your behalf. Someone took the punishment. So it's the greatest victory and the promise of God's grace and forgiveness. This is love, he says. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins, our wrongdoings, the damages that we have done in our relationship. Now, when we experience that sacrificial love, when we experience that grace, we call it in a Christian jargon, the unmerited merit of God, this friendship, we want to naturally extend that to others, and particularly if we're part of a faith community, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We energize not to simply care for one another in small ways, although those are very important, but to love each other deeply and sacrificially. How do we do that? We had an interesting conversation. We did an Alpha Day yesterday at a place. And how do we love? Because this is a word we use now every day. But how? How in practice? Well, certainly it's about seeking the well-being of others. And certainly the way we speak about each other. Not just when they are with us, but most importantly when they're not around. You might have to remember that very helpful phrase to think. Before you speak, let your words pass through three gates. At the first gate, ask yourself, is it true? That's a very important gate. Is it true? I think it will stop a lot of gossips. Is it really true? At the second gate, is it necessary? Is it necessary? And at the third gate, is it kind? And if we take the time to think about that, is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And sometimes I would like to add, and is it the right context? Is it the right context? That would be a great way to seek the well-being of each other in the way we speak about one another. Another way is when to be committed and to be devoted. How do we do that? Well, for example, in this church, we have groups, life groups, and we call them life groups instead of home groups. Not some are in home, some are here. But we want to be places of life. And if you want to do life together, you need to be committed to one another. So when you're part of a group, you make it a commitment It's not always easy. Sometimes you think, oh, there is something so nice on TV, you know. There's a good film on TV tonight. Oh, I don't really feel like it. But then when you are devoted and committed, you just go. Sometimes you don't feel like it, but you just go because it's important. And dedicated time and resource to help each other. And here in this church, more than 80 people are volunteering in various ways to help on Sunday, during the week, and to help serving in the community. That's sacrificial love, giving time and energy, being mindful of how we speak of each other, being committed and devoted to one another. So Jesus gave up his life. We are called to also give our lives away to each other. That's how we grow as a community of friends. Secondly, Jesus says, no longer do I call you servant, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is switching. A servant, he only receives commands. You're going to do this and this and this. And don't ask questions. It's a bit like children and parents and children. You just do it and don't ask questions. But friends, they share a relationship of openness and trust and shared understanding. And that's what Jesus does when he comes into our life. All of a sudden, it's like our eyes are open and we understand God better. We understand the world around better and we understand ourselves. Yesterday, we took a whole day looking at the Holy Spirit, so I'm not going to take that. It's going to take about 4 hours. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit, God with us. But one of the ways to express then what's happening within us and what we learn from God and his character and his intention, one of the ways we could grow in our church here is to share those stories, those testimonies. And so one of my resolutions, hopefully I will stick to it next year, is to have more of that on Sunday for you to tell the story of God's goodness or to tell the story of the struggles, but how God has been close to you in those struggles. Testimonies are important because it resonates with who we are too. It's like, I can resonate with that. I've been there too. And it encourages one another. And then our groups, we share lives in small groups. We open ourselves up. It's not about the good things, it's the difficult things. And we pray for one another. And then it's about doing life together. And so when we foster that openness, that trust, it deepens our connections. And it moves us from just being mere churchgoers to friends. Third, Jesus says, you did not choose me. I'm already a little too far. There we go. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. If you know Jesus today, it's not an accident. Jesus chose you and me. It's part of his divine call. And maybe you were not expected. Maybe you come and visit this church and you feel something. You might not be able to put a finger on it, but you feel. Sometimes people say, you know, I haven't understand half of what the guy said in front of the church. You know, the songs were a little bit strange. But it felt like coming home. Often people say, it felt like coming home. When we respond to that, when we respond to God's presence and Jesus' call, he comes into our hearts. And he gives us new purpose. And the purpose is that we tell others of what God does in our hearts. And so Christian friendship goes beyond just sharing good interests, you know, and it's important. Maybe you have a circle of friends because you like the same things, you have common interest. Maybe you come to this church because you like the style of worship or the way we do things. Maybe you talk about TV programs, but it's much more than that. What really should be firing our hearts is our shared mission, our shared purpose, that we've been called by Jesus, like the disciples, for a purpose. And the purpose is to tell others what we've discovered, to tell others about the message of Jesus. And when we are brought together with that one purpose, it binds us, it propels us as a community of faith. I have appointed you and me so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then fourth, Jesus says, these things I command you, that you will love one another. And other passages, love one another as I have loved you. That's the measurement. Loved one another as I have loved you. And is it not just a suggestion? Well, you know, if you want to. No. Love one another. It's an essential expression of our identity as friends and followers of Jesus. And that's why I chose this passage. It's a little bit, you know, difficult to read, but it shows that Paul loved his co-workers. He loved the church. He poured his life for the believers, for the purpose of telling others about Jesus. He was not a nice guy, Paul. If you read scripture, his name was Saul, and he persecuted the church. He put Christians in prisons. He was angry against them until he met Jesus in a dramatic way. In Acts, we learn about that. And it transformed him and gave him a new purpose to tell others, this Jesus is really the Savior of the world. And he was ready to pour his life into that. And so here we see so much of his affection. And it's a challenge for me as a vicar, I think anyone in leadership, a challenge to recognize and value all of you, because this church wouldn't function without you. And even just your presence, even just you braving the storm and coming, should be valued. You are here because you want to be with your brothers and sisters to worship God, to encourage one another, to learn from Scripture, to grow in your faith. And so we see that in this passage. We see personal affection and recognition. Paul goes beyond simply naming. He's acknowledged the contribution. For example, Prisca. You see, I can't even read it. So well done, Felicity. Help me, please. Prisca and Aquila. He said, they are my co-worker. They've risked their life for me. He highlights someone like Mary, who tirelessly labor for the community. He commends Phoebe for her support and leadership, and much more in that passage. He just doesn't just give a name. He always tells what they've done or how they've encouraged and helped him. Secondly, he expressed that sense of belonging and warmth. He used the terms, brothers and sisters. This is my family, my new family. My new brothers, my new sisters in Christ. And there is a passage that says, I can't say I love God and then go right on hurting or dismissing or humiliating a brother and a sister in a faith, thinking nothing of it. Because that would make me a liar. If I can't love my brother and my sister, which I see, how can I say I love God, which I don't see? So love is not just a suggestion, it's a command. And it's love everybody. No, we will find difficult to love some people, and we'll be closer in a church to some to others. You know, that's not what it means. But we must be careful what we say with those three gates. We must be committed and devoted to one another, and we must learn to serve each other. He speaks of Rufus' mother, who's been like a mother to him. What a wonderful description of care. And be encouraged, because although, you know, we're growing in with our young people and we have lots of children, maybe less teenager, but you can be mothers and fathers, examples of faith to them. Or grandmothers and grandfather for that case. But you can have those role models. There should be deep relationship that transcends our biological families. In the body, we don't just belong to a church, We belong to each other. It's a community and a family. And then he brings back what Jesus says. Go and bear fruit. It's a community of friends that is not passive, but has a common purpose. It's active in mission. Each person Paul greets is involved in some kind of laboring for the gospel, for the good news. Some are hosting in churches in their house. Some are serving. And again, sometimes it's just being present. Some are contributing financially or by spreading the message of Jesus. Oops, goes too fast. It's full of encouragement and affirmation. It's full of description of who that person is precious to Paul. How do we honor each other? Our contributions. How can we create space for others to contribute? How do we delegate? You know, a few weeks ago I spoke about this running the race and passing on the baton. How do we do that well so that others can take on responsibilities that express their own giftings and their own abilities, not imposing things that do not fit? Jesus wants to use who we are as individuals. Encouragement is essential for a health as a church community, and it will help us to grow. And finally, what's quite extraordinary, and we don't see that, is actually the diversity in that early church. If you know a little bit of first century, there was a big division between Jews and Gentiles, and they wouldn't talk to each other. They wouldn't share a meal together. But here we have both, Jews and Gentiles, coming together in the faith of Jesus. We have man and woman having responsibilities, both together. People from various social backgrounds and roles. This early Christian community, friendship was beyond social barrier. And it was a witness to the world. How does that happen? It was not a club. It was a place where all are welcomed, whatever their differences. And so this morning we are reminded that we are called to live and to grow as a faith community for Jesus and with one another. Jesus invites you and me in that deep, life-changing partnership with God. He calls us friend. I'm going to share who God is, his character, his intention. And so when we follow Jesus, you are his friend. And he will reveal the heart of God, his purpose, his plans. He will empower you to go and to make an impact in our world that's going to be eternal. This is no ordinary friendship. It's a friendship that transforms you, that sends you on a mission, and that will make a lasting mark in history. But in practicalities, here in St. James, in our community, true friendship in Christ is made visible by how we support one another, how we encourage one another, how we work together to grow the message of Jesus in our community, how we spread the message of his love, how we serve our community so that it sees real transformation. And new people, and I do hope you feel that way this morning, new people that are coming to this church should find it easy to make friends. We should be on the look when someone new's. We should greet them. We should be excited. Wow, someone dare cross three doors. We have three doors. I have no idea. Three doors. So well done to crossing three doors. This is a place where people can find freedom. Freedom from all kind of addictions. Freedom for hurts. Healing of wounds. Given a new heart, a new hope. So let's continue as we end our series on community. Let's continue to move forward, not as isolated individual, but as a united community of friends, reflecting God's love to one another and to everyone God will bring to this place, to everyone who dare crossing those three doors, I would say. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you remind us today that we are your friends. and friends shares, hopes and dreams and purposes. Help us as a faith community to really take the time to hear the hopes, the dreams and the purposes that you have for this town. And help us to be faithful. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, for all that they do. Bless them richly and continue to teach us how we can love one another as you loved us. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.